Hello and welcome to the NovPod, a podcast series aimed at getting novices up the learning curve of anaesthetics. We have a top 10 tips for those starting their anaesthetic training or those coming to anaesthetics for their airway training. Welcome to all. My name's Owen Dore. I'm an anaesthetic reg working in Thames Valley. Together with my co-host Duncan, we will go through hopefully some useful pointers, and some of it which will include the work of Joseph Lipton, who is the mentor of the NovPod and is also a consultant at Guy's and St. Thomas's. In the bio, we will have some links to the NovPod, Novice Guide, and also to some feedback. So without any further gassing, on we go to the episode. Welcome to the NovPod, a novice guide to anaesthetics with myself, Owen Dore, an anaesthetic trainee in Thames Valley. And with me today, I have
Duncan Kemp, and I'm an anaesthetics trainee in North London.
The one and only. The NovPod series is about 15 episodes, although I guess this will be the 16th. And this is following the back of John Chambers, recently elected council member for the college, invite us on this wonderful webinar where we sort of gave our top tips, didn't we, Duncan?
Yeah, so we were very kindly invited to give our top tips for the novice anaesthetist, so people starting the novice anaesthetic period, both as an anaesthetic trainee, but also as our other members of the specialty community, such as intensive care trainees, ED trainees doing the ACCS time.
Not to say that some novices are more equal than others, having a PICU resh as your novice on when you get called to resus, other paediatric crash call, say welcome, especially to our PICU colleagues.
Please save us and we will try and teach you useful things for the rest of your career.
Apart from when they try and put a size yellow cannula into a massive hemorrhage.
Slightly less useful.
Okay, so what are we going to talk about in this episode? So obviously top tips, we're going to hopefully direct you onto the other episodes as well. The episodes, Duncan, would you consume them 1 to 15? Like, everyone can consume 1 to 15, but sometimes you might have started your novice period and you might have already had your first day, so that episode might be less useful for you, but the drugs episode could be more useful, or how you approach your on-call. So we do invite you to listen them through to 1 to 15, but feel free to mix and match and pitch out the best things that are for you. I know that I've heard from some people who are holidaying in France that they actually listen to some of the episodes that were more interest to them whilst they're in France. Yeah. Okay, but feel free to listen to this in England, France, UK. We had some listeners in Nepal, so shout out to our listenership in Nepal.
Yeah. Aim of this content is to basically condense what we said in our welcome talk last year into an episodic format and basically give you some top tips. Not summarising the podcast itself, but giving you a kind of skim of the top of the iceberg, which is those 15 episodes.
A skim of the top of the iceberg. And see, with those wonderful analogies, we will be able to guide you safely through. Top 10 tips for the RCOA webinar, and we hope some of it will be useful and have a look at some of the NovPod episodes for a bit further detail. Tip one, Duncan, why don't you take this one?
Tip one is have a look at the Novice Guide on the RCOA website. It's basically a guide to all things novice, as it says in the title. That's a very weird way of phrasing it, but it is now an award-winning guide which will help you get through your novice anaesthetic period, regardless of whether you are an anaesthetic trainee or another specialist trainee coming in to join us, one of the ED, ICM, paediatric trainees. We love to have you all on board, and it's very useful even just to have a look and see a glimpse at the structure of the day. There's links to the podcast itself.
Shout out to ourselves.
There we go. Pat on the back. We are part of the award-winning team.
It goes on my analogy, the closer you are to the fountain, the more you get splashed by
exactly. awards. Exactly. So definitely check out the Novice Guide. It's packed full of useful resources. It can be found on the RCOA website under the Training and Careers tab. Stage one training, completing the initial assessment of competence, the novice period, and then there is a link to access the novice guide.
Yeah, you could just Google novice guide RCOA.
You feel more accomplished if you've taken more steps to find the resource you're looking for.
Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your patients, have a look on there and everything will be crystal clear. And if it's not, feel free to email the people who create it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Which brings us on to our second top tip, Owen, which is...
Well, it's actually on the IAC website, and it talks about the mock portfolio. Tip two is that part of this is evidencing where your improvement's coming from. You need to be able to, at the end of it, show a portfolio, and they've actually got a mock portfolio on the website to have a look at. Even if you are one of our wonderful colleagues joining us from, as we mentioned, ED, intensive care, even a shout out to my picky regs out there. It's fantastic to have all of you on board. But it can also show sort of what we're looking for when people want to get signed off.
And so I think it's just a bonus extra sub tip of that to the people coming from other specialties. You need something for our ARCP. You make sure you utilize your time. And so building a portfolio whilst you're in anesthetics can build towards your ARCP in your own specialty. It can show that you've completed a decent chunk of work and shown development even outside of your specialty.
I would also say for the F1s and 2s who are joining for anaesthetics for 2 months, you don't need to complete an ISC, right? And telling you to do one in 2 months, sometimes because it's split between ITU and anaesthetics, that's setting up for failure. However, you can look at some of the things that are evidence for the IAC and think about how you might go around achieving that. It's dependent on centres, because some centres are going to start looking at a mini IAC for the foundation years, which I'm very excited for the department to
roll
out.
That sounds great.
Okay, so tip three we've got is actually quite...
It's very similar to tip two.
These are Joe's tips that we're including for the top 10 tips. I think he's referencing his own work again.
Yeah, classic Joe, always harping on about his achievements.
He's that classic person who, when he presents a paper, has referenced it himself.
Most
cited author is himself. Anyway, so what has Joe again referenced in his third tip?
So it's reading the IAC workbook. Again, a separate part of the Novice Guide. It breaks down the curriculum, the EPAs, the entrustable professional activities.
Rolls off the tongue.
Exactly. That you need to ultimately build up evidence to have signed off at the end of your novice period. It sounds a lot, but actually it's broken down in some very simple tables, clear do's and don'ts about what we mean by the SLE's supervision levels and what they don't mean, which I think is very useful.
They have put a lot of time into thinking about how this should be delivered, and it is to get away from tick boxing exercises and moved more towards assessments that actually mean something for you. And a tip is, when you're asking someone to sign you off, it's not what you did then and there, it's what the supervisor would feel you would be comfortable doing next time.
Yeah, more on that later, because that's another one of our top tips.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine. We're top tipping ourselves. Do have a look at the Novice Guide. As I mentioned, tell your colleagues, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone. Have a look.
Great holiday reading is what I've heard.
Great. You need to go on holiday more. Okay, but yeah, great holiday reading in the French Riviera, yeah?
Exactly. Well, speaking of the French Riviera and holiday listening...
Oh, holiday listening.
Tip number four.
Listen to the NovPod.
We've created this resource specifically for people going into and during the novice anaesthetic period, because we wanted to recreate some of the advice that we had when we were novices. We had the friendly SHOs, registrars, staff grades and consultants taking us aside in a coffee room when we've had a break and explaining how anaesthesia works then and there on a practical level, not just necessarily the theory.
We also have tried to think about it so that and think about where you're listening from. And I hope some of you are listening whilst on a commute, whilst you're doing different activities. We don't really want people taking notes from this, but we do signpost you to somewhere where you could go for further study. This is meant to be a bit more engaging than your standard introductory talks. And we have thought about it, where we have tried to think about where you first see the patient, carry on with the patient's journey, and then think about some things that you can do to make sure with their recovery and you're on calls. But you can pick and choose topics if you need to. So if you want to go and have a look at drugs later on, if you've had your first day and you're feeling happy with the pre-assessment type of things, then have a look at drugs with Rahul. We've also got conversations for after your IAC, such as the well-being chats or the life after the IAC with Fiona Donalds. We have got, and you'll be surprised to hear this, we found some people who are more interesting than us.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't expect it, but you look hard enough, you do find.
Yeah, it turned out everyone was, but that's not the point. We have got a range of guests from a novice up to the Royal College president, and they've given all different insights, all different advice. We'd highly recommend that you listen to all of them. The other thing I would just like to say about the NovPods is that it's created for you. So we wanted to create something that if you were feeling a little lost, a little like you didn't know where to start, that this could help you with it. But it's designed around you. So we've got feedback within the episode descriptions. Let us know what you think of them. Let us know what you liked, what you'd like to improve, any behaviours that you might change as a result of listening to the podcast. And it will help us deliver better content for you in the future.
So tip number five. This was one of yours, Owen, I think.
Now, it's hard to sound patronising when... Not sound patronising when you say it, but I hope from this explanation that you'll get what I mean. And tip number five is to be an active learner. Sometimes when you're in anaesthesia, it's difficult to not feel like you're a medical student and to then sometimes sit at the back and go, oh God, there's a lot going on. What is it? I'm not really sure what to focus on today. And the active part of it is once you've gone through your first couple of days, ask questions. Ask, why are you doing it this way? Why are you using this bit of equipment? Why have you decided not to deliver a general anaesthetic in this patient? And then as you start building up those questions, also have a think about how you want to go about your day and start the day with the consultant saying, this is what I'd like to get out of my day. This is the assessments I'd like to do out of my day. Could you look at how we could design the day and design the feedback to make me get the most out of it? Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. And don't get persuaded by the one out of 10 times where someone goes, well, no, unfortunately, we're unable to do that today, but thanks for mentioning it. I think you get way more out of your day. And even now I'm ST5, but actually I get way more out of my day if I, maybe the day before, have a look at who's coming in, what conditions they have, what operations they have, whether or not there's a BJ Ed article about it, British General Anaesthetics. And that's what I mean by the active learning. It's taking charge and saying, this is what I'd like to get from the day. Is there a way we can facilitate that? And you'll be surprised at how much more you can get out with that extra 10% effort.
Yeah, there's a very high effort to reward ratio with that. Yeah. Very little effort, and you can really change your learning experience.
You might be here for 3 months, right? You want to get the most anaesthetics out that you can. And if you can complete your IAC, finish, and you're not necessarily sure what the next step is, well, actually, the next step is there's a lot of value in you sending the supervisor out the door and being in control of the anaesthetic for a patient and the variety of different teams, different factors, different equipment, different monitoring that you'll be dealing with as that. And that all comes from being a proactive, active learner. And some days you may not have the headspace for it. There may be some other stuff going on. That's okay. It's just thinking about how you can turn more of the days into those active learning days.
On to tip number six. We've hinted at this already, but there is a great infographic by Dr. Helen Westall.
Shout out.
Who's at H. Westall on Twitter, who came up with the entrustment levels, so all the supervision levels on your sign-offs that we've mentioned already, those SLEs. She's compared it to levels of coffee.
Oh, well,
can't have anaesthesia without coffee. That's one of the rules I was taught early.
Let's shoehorn that stereotype in.
Exactly.
But to be fair, we've had about 3 or 4 coffees today, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah, which is why we're probably sounding a bit hypomanic at the moment. But it's a great little infographic, and it helps everyone understand what these supervision levels mean and how you can make sure your sign-offs are showing that you're progressing adequately to get your IAC signed off.
Yeah, and you can't be disheartened. So on it, it describes level one, having NHS sludge in the anaesthetics room. Level two is that you're in the theatre suite. 2A is that you get to have a lovely aeropress. The point of this is almost a subjective assessment, and you can't get disheartened if you receive a 1, as that is a complete reflection of how you've come on. There's lots of factors that go into these assessments, so sometimes you may feel it's not where you're at for an ASA 1 or 2, but don't get disheartened by that and look at where the trend is going, right? And it's easier if you have more data points on your graph to work out where the trend is going. I'm not saying you need to complete 100 SLEs, because that is a lot of work.
There are certain cases where consultants will be having another consultant supervision level 1 because of the complexity and how sick they are.
Right. And then we've got tip 7.
I'll let you take this one out.
I once listened to a podcast called High Performance, which on it said generic questions get generic feedback. And it made me really think. If you ask at the end of the day, 99% of NHS consultants, oh, how did I do? What do you think I can improve? I bet 99% will say, good. No, you did great. Well done. Thanks. All right, off you go. you ask for generic feedback, you're going to get generic responses. You need to give time for people to A, think about their feedback, B, watch you and think about their feedback, and then a safe place to deliver it. You also need to invite onwards people to give you challenge and people to give you things to learn on. If you just get told you're great all the time, it doesn't give you the challenging areas to grow. I myself have had some difficult feedback to comprehend recently. It doesn't mean I'm a terrible doctor. It just means I'm learning as part of my growth channel. And at the moment, you will know loads about medicine, but you may not know loads about anaesthetics, and there'll be a lot of learning and a lot of growing. In order to get that specific feedback on something that you want, you need to highlight it at the start of the day. Now, there's lots of stuff going on. There's patients coming in. There is things to sort out pre-theatre. Your learning's important, and you need to say at the beginning of a day your learning's important and what you'd like to get out of that day. You don't need to say it as obtuse as that, but you need to be able to say, I would like this as feedback today. Could you review it and then let me know at the end of the day? And it doesn't just have to be our anaesthetic senior regs or consultants. The ODPs have a world, an anaesthetic practitioner have a world of experience. They've seen good anaesthetists, bad anaesthetists, slow anaesthetists, fast anaesthetists, and they will pick up two or three points that you would be able to benefit from. I've got a good feedback tool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so if you're giving feedback about a new technique, you can use the wonderful acronym TUBES.
Tubes.
Tubes. So T for technique. Is there anything you would have changed about what I did? Did I hold the laryngoscope well? U, understanding. Did I communicate what I was doing with my technique well? Were you aware? Was I saying that this is a grade 2B airway, for example? Backup. What would you have used for backup if my technique hadn't worked? E, is there any extra equipment or additional monitoring or anything else that you may have done with this technique? S, summary. So what would my two takeaways be? What's too good, too bad in order to move on?
Tube's good.
Tube's good. Bad. If you're thinking about where you want your feedback to be and you're unsure where to start off, have a look at the workbook key capabilities, because that's usually a good place to start.
Tip number 8, use your peer support. Mm-hmm. You're going to be going through the novice period with other people. I would highly recommend finding them early doors on induction day and making a little group WhatsApp text chain, email chain, whatever, with them in order to keep in touch, because you'll learn things individually that if you share will make you all learn and grow much quicker. And also, they're going through the same stresses. It is first day of school. Yeah. It is knackering, partly because of how much you are trying to take in. It's a very high cognitive load to take on, but also because you're probably accidentally inhaling anaesthetic gases, which you haven't built up a resilience to yet. It's also good to just know how other people are getting on. You may be struggling with one thing and someone else might have the key to crack that. And
they might have had a great top tip.
Yeah, and they may actually have found things out about how things work within the department, within the hospital, which will save you time, particularly when you start getting to joining the on-call rota. And I think also they may well have listened to another episode of the NovPod, which you hadn't listened to yet, and give you some top tips and recommendations.
They may give you some top tips from your favourite episode of the NovPod.
Which doesn't mean you shouldn't still listen to that episode.
No, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't still listen. No. It means it's a good introduction to listen to that episode.
Yeah. There we go.
Was this yours?
Tip nine? I think it was. Yeah.
I think, yeah. So tip 9, Duncan's put, is surviving on calls. Duncan, what do you mean by that?
Anesthetic on calls are a different beast to others. A lot of the time, particularly on medical on calls, A&E, you are constantly going, but your stress levels don't necessarily fluctuate quite as much. Whereas with anesthetics, it can very much be feast or famine. You can be there sitting around waiting for things to happen. In some cases, that's quite rare. Or you can be going from running to one crash call to another, to theatres in order to help intubate someone who's very, very sick, to then manage them whilst they're asleep, to then run away to another emergency where you're dealing with something completely different. The key thing is you've got to try and look after yourself and also know how you are part of a team. As a novice, this can be quite tricky because at first you will be supernumerary if you are going straight onto an on-call rota, but you can very quickly learn how you can be useful to your team. And then also see how your team deals with the on-call workload, how you can make sure that the night shift isn't a complete car crash when you've got 10 cases on the board and they all seemingly need done at the same time.
I would like to flag you onto the wellbeing episode where we do talk about this quite a lot. Just know that intubating someone at 5 a.m. is actually pretty tough and takes quite a lot of cognitive workload. I used to feel guilty about the fact that I had some downtime, and then I was called down to resus a few times, had to do some high level thinking tasks, and realised why resting when you can is very important, because you never know when you need to act. I guess tip 10 is the same as the feedback tip. I sometimes struggled with the level of conversation I needed to come up with the consultants, right? You go through what holidays they've been on, you go through where they trained, what interests they have, you get invited to their kids' barbecue. It's all lovely. But the reality is actually we are unique in that we get one-on-one time with consultants a lot. And sometimes you don't really know what to do with that. So let's say we found an interesting case to discuss. We've talked about, got the CBD done, the patients have been pre-assessed. What would you do now? Well, actually, you can still think about how you would want to utilize that time. And quite a good top tip would be that you can use Quick Reference Handbook to go through some sims and run them through with you talking aloud. It can be scary, but believe me, the consultant won't care if you miss step three of the hypotensive algorithm on the QRH handbook, but they will care about how they can give you feedback to improve. And part of it is anaesthetic emergencies happen in seconds and minutes, and being able to run through this stuff more routinely can help with the confidence on calls, right?
Yeah, definitely. It will shorten your time to becoming confident with assessing where the problem is coming from with, for example, a hypoxic patient or a loss of CO2 trace. You very quickly build in that system to analyse where it's coming from and solve it.
And we talk about this in our anaesthetic emergencies episode.
Yeah.
That's 10 top tips, right? I think most of them were Joe Lipton telling us to go and have a look at his work on the website.
His award-winning work. There we go.
And then us plugging our own podcast. But there was stuff about active learning, about thinking about how you look after yourself on calls, about how to engage with the one-to-one consultants.
So I think in summary, welcome to anaesthesia.
We're excited to have you, aren't we?
We're excited, very excited to have all of you. It's an amazing specialty, full of fun, full of excitement, stress, funny stuff, good stuff, gold stuff, award-winning stuff, NovPod. Just enjoy your time. There's a whole lot you can learn and a whole lot you can take back to other specialties if you're going back to them. And check out the Novice Guide and the NovPod.
Enjoy it. It's a very unique time. There's a lot of learning. There is, some days are really tiring, some days are a bit frustrating. Think how much your journey in 3 months is going to mean. And sometimes you could journal that down and write a few lines a day of what you've done. But we hope you enjoy it. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And we look forward to welcoming you to other episodes of the NovPod. Nov, nov, nov.
Pod, pod, pod.
Nov, nov, nov. Welcome to the outro from the editing room. I hope you've enjoyed this top 10 tips episode with myself and Duncan. We have some links in the bio for you to have a look at. So firstly, obviously there's more NovPod episodes for you to please go and discover. And if you like them, please do share them with friends and colleagues. Then we have the Novice Guide to look at, along with a document from the Association of Anaesthetists about stage one of training, and there's a lot of resources in there. We'll also include a link to the college's wellbeing page. And if you fancy providing some feedback, there's a link in the bio, or you can interact with us on Twitter at @DoorOwen. Lastly, as with many things in life, a little humour goes a long way. And I'll tell you my favourite jokes to tell an anxious patient in the appropriate setting, of course. Why is there no aspirin in the jungle? Because the parrot set them all. And with that terrible joke, goodbye for now.